And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to a very special edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at money, your future, my future, America's catastrophic financial situation, and Bible prophecy. I would like to give today's discussion a title. I'd like to call it, in fact, Economic Armageddon. Economic Armageddon with a question mark. But in essence, today I want to talk to you about Wall Street greed, trillion-dollar bailouts, and what the future holds in store for you and me now, considering America's current financial disastrous situation. This certainly is a special edition, and I have some concrete things that I believe that you and I need to do to protect ourselves and our families, and so we're going to get into that a little bit later. So you might want to get a pencil and paper, because there's some very constructive ideas I have for you and I want you to know about. Now, from time to time, I talk about financial things, the global economy, the American economy. And if you receive these radio programs from me, you'll notice that about once a year, and that's about all. Now, I talk a lot about the Wall Street greedsters and, the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and all of these foreign bankers and such, the Jewish Zionist elite who run Wall Street. I talk about that every week practically. But periodically, I have a session where I look at the coming months of what the future holds. Now, there are two types of things that we do here in this ministry. When I give you a financial analysis and prediction, it's what I believe, Tex Mars, is going to happen. But I do want you to know that God has given me some unique insights into these financial situations in the last days. But it's not thus saith the Lord. It's my analysis, my predictions, my warnings of what's to come. Now, if I told you that God said to me, God said, thus saith the Lord, well, you would want to listen up extra, extra close, because when God says it, you better pay attention. The Bible often says, let him who hath ears hear. Let him who has ears hear. A lot of people don't have ears with which to hear. Oh, they don't have to worry about hearing aids or going to see doctors because they can't hear so well. It's just that they can't understand and distinguish the sounds of warnings, especially on the financial front, that come to them. And many people, the Bible says, have itching ears. Itching. They hear what they want to hear. Well, today, this is not going to be thus saith the Lord, except to the extent that I'm going to give you some prophecies right from the Bible. And these are thus saith the Lord, and they're written down in the scriptures of God that are 100% accurate. And I don't want you to leave this program today thinking that the Holy Bible is just one of many scriptures, like the Hindus' Bhagavad Gita or the Islamic religion's Quran. This is absolute truth, and you better pay attention to it, and you better clean out your itching ears And it would be very advisable for you and me to listen up to what God says will happen in the last days. Then I will also give you my analysis, and I want to be helpful to you. You see, I'm not panicked about anything. President Bush the other night addressed the nation on television, and he pleaded for his $700 billion bailout of Wall Street. And he mentioned, you know, that there is a danger of panic. Evidently, he was actually quoted during the meeting he had closed to the public, but with Mr. Obama and Mr. McCain and the Senate and the House leaders, as they began to haggle and argue and tempers flaring, trying to decide what to do at the White House, President Bush evidently was quoted as saying, "This whole sucker is going to go down. This whole sucker is going to go down." He meant the nation and the bill besides that he wants to get passed. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. Those politicians don't know what they're doing, and they cannot make wise decisions. They are evil people, greedy people, and now they're frightened. They're panic-stricken. And they're afraid whichever way they go, they're going to have their constituents back home angry at them. If they approve a $700 billion bailout, and by the way, they've already spent $1 trillion already. That's $1,000 billion already. They didn't even get approval from you and me for that. They didn't ask us. Of course, they're not asking us now. But they didn't even specially have a program designed. That was just what Bush and Paulson and Bernanke have already spent over $1 trillion. In fact, to inflate the global money markets over the last 3 years, my understanding is that Mr. Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve, has actually printed up, which is done electronically, so there's no actual printing presses, $4 trillion of money. $4 trillion of money have been blown already. And now they want another $700 billion with no assurance that it will work. And if it doesn't, you say, well, I don't care about those rich hedge fund operators, Wall Street manipulators, corrupt crooks on Wall Street. Well, I care about their souls, but as far as their monies and fortunes, I don't care. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for it myself, but I want you to understand I do care about you and your children and your wife or your husband. And I care about your future. And I care about mine. I have grandchildren. I have children. I have a wife. I care about my future. Now, I'm not talking about my soul, my eternal future. That's in God's hands. And every day I wake up, look in the mirror, and I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't have anything to fear. Even Jesus said, fear not. That's two words right there. So as we begin this program, think of what Jesus said. Fear not. He said, look at the birds of the sky. Look in the air. God takes care of them. He knows their needs, and he knows your needs and mine. King David once said, you know, I am old and once was young, but I have yet to see a man of God go hungry or needing shelter. So friends, the essentials are going to be taken care of by God, and you can believe that. But later on, I'm going to tell you what you must do. Right now, I want to talk to you about this economic Armageddon, and I want to show you the biblical prophecies, what is really happening in the world, so you'll understand it. This is not something that we can just pay $700 billion more, throw it on the heap of treasure we've already wasted, and everything will go away. The dynamics of banking, of business, of your economic future have already been changed forever, and all of this was set in motion many years ago, and we are now seeing the culmination of the Illuminati's grand plan. I want to repeat that. This is nothing less or more than the culmination, the completing steps of the Illuminati's grand plan to set up a new world order with a global currency and to control all the world's financial system through computers and electronic means, and to drive every nation on earth into this new world order, one world unity, end American sovereignty, end the sovereignty of every nation, and create a Zionist money kingdom of the beast, the Antichrist 666. And this is the coming together of all of these financial events. And it is the ending of American superiority in the New World Economic Order. America is being beaten down, savaged, torn apart by the global manipulators. You see, Wall Street and the Bushes and the Clintons and all the other crooks, they have never been Americans. They have always been internationalists. They never cared for you or me as Americans, and they don't today. And I want to show you exactly what I mean by that. But first, let's go to the Bible. Now, I want to start first with the fate, the destiny of these wicked, evil men that are robbing you and your family of substance and threaten to totally bring down the working men and women of this country. It is possible, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it is possible that the 6.1% unemployment rate that the Bureau of Labor Statistics says is now a fact, which is probably a flat-out lie. It's probably more like 10%. But their official statistics says 6.1%. It's increased about 50% from 4-point-whatever in the last year to 6% today. In the Great Depression, some 16 to 20%, depending on the year, of people were out of work. 16 to 20%. It could get that away again. It could get to where 50% of the Americans are out of work. That's the situation in some countries around the world today. But I want to take you to the end of all of this. Because you say, are the rich going to get richer? Yes, they will. But wait, I want to take you to their end, and then we're going to come back to today. James says it, the brother of Jesus, chapter 5 of the book of James in the Bible. He says this, he writes, and it's a prophetic scripture. He says, go to now. Now, that's old King James. That means listen up. Listen, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Right away, this is the destiny of the rich. The end destiny of all of this. This is a warning to the man or woman greedy, excessive, money-driven. This is your future, dear friend. Listen up, ye rich men. Weep and howl for the miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. How many times do we see the Hollywood celebrities and the Wall Street bankers and all of their families dress up, and it's nothing for one of these Wall Street men to wear a necktie worth $1,000 or a pair of Gucci shoes or whatever, slippers that cost $10,000, or some woman like Laura Bush to go to some big gala ball and wear a dress that costs $100,000. Those are some very rich garments. But what does the Bible say? Those garments are going to end up moth-eaten. Nobody's even going to be wearing them. And what about gold and silver? It says your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Gold and silver is not going to do the rich man one bit of good in the last days. And then James said to these people, he says, ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Sure, you got rich, and now the last days are upon you, and what will you do now? Behold, verse 4 says, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord. They got rich, and they hired workers for the global slave plantation around the world, in China and Brazil and Indonesia and Africa. And they kept back the money by fraud, and Walmart and all of these huge corporations were glad to see Chinese and Korean workers getting a pittance, getting sometimes 10 cents, 20 cents an hour, while they were riding around in their executive jets, and their women were having fabulous jewels and throwing parties and inviting prostitutes into their swank penthouses. And people were crying out, hungry and starved, but the rich did nothing but enjoy themselves, pleasure themselves. And verse 5 says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. When working men complain, they kill them. They say, do we not deserve our just wages? And the rich say, no. And they killed just people who didn't even have the means to resist them. Did not America go into Iraq and send tens of thousands of troops and modern armaments and slaughter the people and take their oil? Yes, we did. We condemned the people of Iraq for what one little ruthless dictator did, and we went over there and set up concentration camps at Abu Ghraib and killed the just people and destroyed their country, and they were not even able to resist us because of our great riches, and we got richer and richer for it. And now, Mr. Rich Man, you want us to bail you out. And we probably will bail you out. But we're just buying time for you. You've got a destiny. And it's hell. Now let's look at the whole system, what the Bible says. And by the way, God has it all figured out. It's all mathematical. It's absolutely correct. None of it will not happen. It will all happen. And chapter 18 of the book of Revelation tells you about the global free trade system of the last days. The commercial system. All the banks, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan, all of them, UBS Bank, Credit Suisse, Nomura, Securities of Japan, Vizcaya Group of Spain and Argentina. They're all figured into here. Let me read this to you. They're called Babylon the Great. It's a global system. John says, Revelation, it says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. That means he brings wisdom. He brings light to those who are willing to open up their eyes and see what's coming. And he, that is the angel, cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And that is exactly what we've got. Modern day Babylon the Great, a global system of trade, commerce, riches, banking. And people have become drunk with richness and excess and fornication. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of even the delicacies. Why, it's nothing to pay $1,000 for a little can of caviar in New York City. And even the rich televangelists fly off to some crusade in Africa, and while the people there are starving and dying of diseases, they rent $5,000 a night hotel suites. The Christian evangelist. But here's what God says. Verse 4, chapter 18 says, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, filled to her double. Verse 8 says, Therefore shall her plagues, that's this world financial system, world economic system, the new world order, it says, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. We're told the stock market the other day was within 30 minutes of a complete collapse. And America would fall. The whole world would fall like dominoes then, economically, politically. And the Bible says, Therefore shall these plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Verse 9 says, And the kings of the earth, all the rulers, all the United Nations, it wasn't by accident that they were having the meeting of the United Nations Assembly this very week. And the two men vying to be president of the greatest superpower on earth are debating this very week. When our Congress of the world's greatest or once greatest financial superpower and military superpower is debating a bill that might end up in America's fall, whether or not the bill is even passed. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Of course they will. Think of their great loss. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise. What is that merchandise? Listen to all of it. The merchandise, it says in verse 12, of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and it goes on and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast. That's right, even animals. Hey, you can buy hog bellies. Wall Street Commodities, Chicago Commodities. You can buy wheat, sugar, oil, hog bellies, beef, cattle, whatever, and beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and get this. What else is sold? All these things, the merchants of the earth will no longer be able to buy. After mentioning all these categories of goods and products, it says, and souls of men, and slaves, and souls of men. Slaves, children are being sold into sexual slavery by the rich and decadent Arab sheikhs and brought to their penthouses in Dubai, in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, and used and abused and snuffed out like their lives mean nothing. And this is going on in America. They're bringing in these foreign women, even children, and they're prostituting them and destroying their lives and making even of the Mexican immigrants coming to America. They're not coming in here because they want to. They're coming in here because they have to, because they've been made slaves in their own nations down in Mexico and Central America, and they come to America and they become slaves once again. And there's 40 or 50 million of them. I don't care if they tell you that's only 12 or 15 million illegals. It's 40 or 50. Do I hate them because they've come to America? No, I pity every one of them. They are slaves to the New World Order. And they come here because they are slaves. And if the New World Order has its way about it, and the Bushes and the Clintons and all the other potentates of Wall Street, it's not only their bodies where they become slaves, their very souls are sold. How do you sell a soul of a man or a woman? You chain them to American television and movies and music. Sex, profanity, that's slavery. But it's also a marketing of men's souls. And this nation, the United States, has to be Mystery Babylon. You know why? Because we have marketed pornography and trash and drugs and alcohol to the whole world. And men have bought in it and lived deliciously in this sickness. In a cesspool of all these products, these fine products. And men have been made slaves. And their souls have been bought up by the devil. But look what happens. Verse 14 says, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are now departed from thee. It's all going to end. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find no more at all. I don't think Tiffany's is going to be selling diamond rings anymore. When Babylon the Great has fallen. I don't think they're going to be selling gourmet cookies for $2.50 at some little boutique place on the corner in your shopping mall. It says, verse 15, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And they will cry, it says, verse 18, when they see the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Oh, what a great city it was. And they cast dust on their heads, verse 19, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. That's the Bible. Now, when we come back, I want to tell you exactly what is going on Wall Street in America and what God has put in my heart to tell you that you and I must do about it. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy, special program today, asking the question, is this economic Armageddon? Tex Mars again. You know, folks, the Bible, Jesus said something very interesting. He told his disciples what would happen at the end of time. That is the end of time for mankind. And he talked about the signs. The signs. And after he finished revealing these amazing things, this is in Matthew 23:24 in the New Testament, Jesus says, he declared, "Behold, I have told you before." Behold, before these things even occur, I'm telling you what will happen, said our Lord Jesus. In the last few years, I have done my best to warn you of some of these things that were going to happen. And there have been many other fine Americans that have done so as well. Even Congressman Ron Paul said, look, if we don't clear up this Federal Reserve mess and this Wall Street mess, America is going to suffer greatly. There's going to be a disaster. He went to the debates and told people that, and you know what? They laughed at him. And people like John McCain just snickered. Ha ha. And 1 week before this great fall of Wall Street, John McCain, the Republican candidate for president, at a news conference said, oh, I think America, our economy, is fundamentally strong. Exactly 1 week later, this same idiot got up there in front of the cameras around the world, and John McCain said, I'm suspending my campaign and racing back to Washington. Everything is about, he didn't say this, but I'm paraphrasing him, we're in an economic emergency. I'm needed back in Washington. Everything could go out. This is a disaster. You know, it's panic time. I'm exaggerating what the man said, but that's basically it. 1 week after telling you everything is okay, where it's fundamentally sound, he has to race back to Washington to save America from complete and utter unmitigated disaster. This is the wisdom of the world. And Obama's, you know, smiling and saying, well, you know, I want to continue the debate, and I want to, but he doesn't know. He doesn't have any prescriptions. He studied Marxism and Leninism and all of those things where he taught at the University of Chicago. He's living in the 1920s and 30s again. And he didn't learn from that. So there's no wisdom there. I believe God has wisdom for you. I think we do need to listen to God's urgent warnings for this day. And I've tried to give those to you. You know, several years ago, I wrote a book called Millennium. And its subtitle was Peace, Promises, and the Day They Take Your Money Away. In that book, I said there is coming a global currency. The end of the American dollar. They're going to drive it down. And American real estate is already, I said, being sold to the foreigners. America's riches are going to be in foreign hands. And here's how they're doing it. And you know, a lot of people heap scorn on me too, just like did Ron Paul. Oh, come on. The day they take your dollar away, you're a scaremonger. You're a gloom and doomer, Tex Mars, they said. Now, if you have listened to this program, you'll know that right after Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita hit in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast of the United States, I had a special program about economics and finance. And you can get a copy of that tape and listen to what I said. And I want to just sort of summarize for you what I said then. Now, this was right after Katrina, the hurricane, and Rita had hit. And here's what I told you. Because right then, people were already saying economic disaster is at hand. And I want to remind you what I told you on this radio program. And you can get the tape and listen for yourself. Here's what I said. I said, listen. The stock market is not going to fall right now. And there are actually stocks that are going to go up. You're going to see a small rise in the stock market. And there will be some people making money off of stocks and even off of real estate, but only real estate in this area of the country where the hurricane hit and where things are a lot better, Texas and so forth, Louisiana, in those areas. That's what I told you. But I said, watch out, because it's going to be, after stocks rise just a little bit, a couple years from now, then comes the great fall. There is coming a great crash. It's only a few years away. But right now, you see, everybody was saying, all my friends and contemporaries were saying, this is it. This is the big one. Everything is falling. I said, no. Things are actually going to look better. There's going to be a very brief period of prosperity. And then the crash will come. And it'll be a greater crash than you have ever seen before in your lifetime. I told you that right after Hurricane Katrina. First comes a little pop up and then a great crash. That's exactly what has occurred. Now, about 2 months ago, seeing the price of oil booming up, rocketing up, ratcheting up to $147 a barrel, I went on this right here on this microphone and I had a radio program entitled Crash, C-R-A-S-H. You can order that right now on powerofprophecy.com or conspiracyworld.com. And I explained exactly what was going on, that the Wall Street crowd, and particularly I gave you the name of two Wall Street investment houses owned by Zionist Jews, greedy banksters. I gave you their names. Their names were Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. And I told you they owned 80% of the oil futures and they were driving up those oil futures and causing the oil market to pop up, and your gasoline had tripled in the last several years, all because of these greedy Wall Street types. And I said to you at that time, this was a couple of months ago, I said, and now they're threatening to bring down the whole house of cards. And I have to tell you, I got a couple of emails from people that said, how silly. Don't you know the price of oil is determined, Tex Mars, based simply on market forces, supply and demand? Too many people want oil and gas. That's all there is to it. They're buying in China, India, Japan, and the price of oil keeps going up simply because of demand. But I had put out a report, a special report to you, 6 months ago almost now, and it was called Planet Petroleum. Planet Petroleum. What did I say? I told you that was a lie. The price of oil was not going up because of demand, because there was such a short supply. Everybody was telling you, oh, we've got to drill, drill, drill. We just don't have enough oil, and oh, America is dependent on these foreigners. Baloney. I told you we had so much oil, nobody could ever use it in 10,000 years. Sitting in the Gulf of Mexico, up in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Colorado Shell, so much oil, it would never run out. Planet Petroleum, we are awash in gas and oil. They're just keeping it off the market. They're keeping it off the market to keep the price up, because to make it a scarce commodity, so the price will rise. And by keeping it off the market and not drilling, even when they could, they had plenty of places to drill. The oil companies didn't want to drill. Check up in Alaska what happened to Governor Palin. When she had the legislature up there pass a law that a certain amount of the profits of the oil companies had to be given to the people of the state, the oil companies quit drilling. They said, we'll fix your wagon, Governor Palin. We don't need Alaska oil. And they didn't. And they don't today. Because they're not giving you enough oil, because they don't want to bring the price down. Now, after I had exposed Planet Petroleum and told you America was awash with oil, and this was all a fake crisis, a hoax, a bogus, a scam, suddenly, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission started investigating. Things began to happen. And they got scared for a while, and things began to go south. And the price of oil per barrel went down from 147 to 89. And then everybody said, oh, see, things are getting better. Look, at the gas pump, it's 15 or 20 cents cheaper. Oh, great. Yeah, it made you really happy just to get a little break. Before it was $2, you thought it was too much. They drove it up to $4, and you screamed, and so they brought it down to $3.75, and you're happy now. Now listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Name for me two of the largest Wall Street investment groups in the world that have not gone bankrupt right now. Merrill Lynch went out of business. Bear Stearns went out of business. Washington Mutual has gone out of business. AIG has gone out of business, or at least they've declared bankruptcy or whatever, been merged with all these others. Countrywide is out. All these have gone out. But guess who's prospered? Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. In fact, they've gotten so rich that the richest man perhaps in America, Warren Buffett, went and plunked down $5 billion for stock in Goldman Sachs. He knows that it's going up. After they've driven all these others out of business, it's going to take their business. I told you Goldman Sachs. I told you Morgan Stanley. And they have enriched themselves off your back. They've made you slaves to oil and gas, and America a slave. And they don't want America to be energy independent. And guess what? After all the ruckus over drilling, the law expired. And now all companies can go drill anywhere in the coastal waters they can. That just happened this week. Think about it. All the furor and hollering and screaming over we should have more drilling. Congress should change the law. The law expired. This very week, they can drill anywhere. So does that mean the price of gasoline is going to go down? Are you kidding me? The very week, this very week, that the law, the old law that said you couldn't drill out in the coastal lands around the United States expired, the price of oil went up from $89 a barrel at its low and is now sitting at $105 a barrel. It went up. In fact, one day it went up to $120. It rose $30 in 3 days. Now they can drill anywhere, but the price of oil rose up last week in 3 days, $30 a barrel. That's what speculation will do for you. That's what Goldman Sachs and that Warren Buffett has just favored. They said the first day of business of Goldman Sachs after Warren Buffett last week put in his $5 billion investment, he profited $789 million he made. Warren Buffett made $789 million in 1 day. The same day Henry Paulson, Secretary of Treasury, with his hand out, was saying the American taxpayers need to put up $700 billion more. He made $789 million in 1 day. And if we pony up, and we will, hundreds of billions of dollars more, his investment will go up double, triple, quadruple. The rich will get richer. Until the end comes. I told you about it. I've warned you, and today I'm going to tell you some more. You can get my book, Millennium. It's about 12 years old. And I'll tell you, it reads like today's headline, some of it. Millennium, Peace, Promises, and the Day They Take Your Money Away. I think it's like $15. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Ask for the book, Millennium. I told you what was going to happen in the 21st century, how they were going to take our money away and the way they were going to do it and who was going to do it. Millennium is the name of the book. If you want to know who they are, get the book Circle of Intrigue. Circle of Intrigue, the hidden inner circle of the global Illuminati conspiracy. That's like $15 or $18. It's a bargain, over 300 pages. Again, our toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673, or go to powerofprophecy.com. Now let's return to our regular program. I'm talking today about an earthquake, an economic earthquake. And you know, they say right before an earthquake, there's small little tremors, signs of what is to come. Even dumb animals seem to be alerted and know, have a foreknowledge of what is to come. But intellectual, college-educated men and women seem to get caught like a deer caught in the headlights. and we perish. Economic Armageddon, is it at hand? And this $700 billion, that's only a pittance. They've already put out $4 or $5 trillion. Now they just need the final piece of the puzzle of destruction. Who's doing this? Zionist bankers. I'm not afraid to tell you. I must be one of the few in the country that will tell you. Zionist Jew bankers on Wall Street. Henry Paulson is Jewish. The chairman and CEOs of almost every major bank and financial investment company in America are Jews. And yet our population is only 2.5% Jewish. Henry Paulson, the Secretary of Treasury, is Jewish. Where did this Mr. Henry Paulson come from? The one that this very week, Newsweek, has pictured on the front cover. Henry Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury under Bush. They call him, right on the cover of Newsweek, King Henry. King Henry Paulson. Where does he come from? Would you like to know? He's only been Secretary of the Treasury about 8 months. What did he do before that? Well, if you'd have got my CDs and audio tapes of warning, you would know that King Henry Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury, was CEO at Goldman Sachs. The very one that ran the price of oil up to $147 a barrel. I mean, the fox is in the hen house, friends. Goldman Sachs, big wig potentate, is now at the White House and he's asking for $700 billion. And now Warren Buffett, the richest man in America, has just invested in Goldman Sachs Investment Bank. And that's where King Henry came from. And when he leaves office in 4 months, he'll go back to either Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley. Or maybe they'll reward him with being chairman of some Chinese bank or some Japanese security company. Because these people aren't Americans. They're international globalists. They're Marxist. They hate our system. They hate people like Thomas Jefferson. Why would they hate Thomas Jefferson? Tex, come on. You got to be kidding me. It's because Thomas Jefferson issued warnings. Watch out for the bankers, he said. Watch out for the bankers with their paper money, Thomas Jefferson said. That's how America could be destroyed, the bankers with their paper money. Andrew Jackson ran for president of the United States in 1828. He won the popular vote, but he lost in the Electoral College. How did that happen? Al Gore wasn't the first one. It was back in 1828. Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, the general who won the Battle of New Orleans, but he lost his first run for the presidency. The American people wanted him, but the bankers didn't, and the Electoral College put in another man. But 4 years later, America's financial situation was so grave that Andrew Jackson decided to run again. He came out of retirement. And the bankers said, well, maybe we've taught him a lesson, old Hickory. Maybe we've taught him if he wants to be president and win the Electoral College, he'll have to give up we bankers what we want. And they called for a meeting with him. Now, friends, you can check the history books to find out what happened at that meeting. Andy Jackson. They cheated him out of the presidency in 1828. Now it's 1832. And they wanted to renew the National Bank Bill. It's sort of like the Fed Reserve. They wanted to renew it. And they wanted to make sure that President Andrew Jackson would go along with them. And, you know, the man... had been against the banks before, but surely he had learned his lesson. So he met with the bankers. Just like George Bush met with the bankers and King Henry Paulson, his Secretary of Treasury. Just like Bill Clinton meets with the bankers. Nobody meets with a common man and woman. They meet with the big shot Wall Street corrupt crowd. Andrew Jackson met with the bankers too. And I want to read to you what he told them. And it was printed in newspapers at the time. Because he issued an announcement. He issued the speech. He gave a copy of his speech to the press. He said, you want to know what I told the bankers? Here it is. I want to read it to you. Jackson said, "Gentlemen, I have had men watching you for a long time. And I am convinced that you have used the funds of the National Bank to speculate in the breadstuffs of the country. When you won, you divided the profits amongst you. And when you lost, you charged it to the bank." That's to the government, in other words. "You tell me now that if I take deposits from the bank and annul its charter," that means kick out all the banksters, "I will ruin 10,000 families. That may be true, gentlemen, but that is your sin. Should I let you go on, you will ruin 50,000 families, and that would be my sin." And then he ended his speech with this statement. And I'll tell you what I think. If Obama or McCain had any guts, this is what they would say. They would simply take old Hickory Andrew Jackson's speech and dust it off. And the last bit of that speech would say this to the bankers. "You," said Jackson, "are a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out." It's Andrew Jackson. Now, I'm giving this little talk on Friday afternoon. They're meeting in the great first presidential debate in Oxford, Mississippi, the University of Mississippi, tonight. I don't know how the debate's going to go. Probably they'll both look so calm and intelligent, but they're fools. I don't expect any man to echo what the great President Andrew Jackson told a delegation of bankers in 1832 that wanted essentially the same thing that these men want from us today. But I can tell you right now, and you're listening to this probably after that presidential debate, I'd like to be surprised. I'd like to know that Barack Obama or John McCain says, "Listen here, I will not be guilty of the sin of allowing you to do your dirty work. You're a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out." You know, I think the American economy would start improving from the very moment that either Obama or McCain issued those words. Oh, they would shock everybody. After all, George Bush says, "This whole sucker's going down if we don't give money to the banks." These words of Andrew Jackson would be absolutely flabbergasting to modern day bankers. But maybe they should listen to what Thomas Jefferson said. He said, "If the American people," this is a quote from Mr. Jefferson, "if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered." Wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. They left us a great nation, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Andrew Jackson. And now we're going to be homeless hobos. All of our riches taken by foreigners. Not by surprise, but by greed and corruption will they have been taken. And you know what? Then we'll start the process toward Revelation 18 and what the Apostle James said would happen in the last days. Now, I'm telling you, my friend, Wall Street greed ate the economy. And now we're going to have to live with it. You say, "Well, what can I do? I'm just a small person." I am too, dear friends. I'm just a tiny little person. I have some things here. You may think these are just sort of homilies. There's nothing concrete here, but I disagree. The first thing I think you need to take care of is your personal safety. These political events, these economic events, the fall of the Bear Stearns, of Countrywide Mortgage, the largest financial firm, Washington Mutual, the sixth largest commercial bank. All of these things, and the buying up of assets by the foreign banks. Did you know that First National Banks, Texas State Banks, Compass Banks were recently bought up by Vizcaya, a huge banking corporation out of Argentina and Spain? And they're buying up our toll roads, or actually our highways, and turning them into toll roads. They're buying up national park lands. They're buying up land, real estate everywhere, and they're driving American people into desperation and poverty. It's going to grind on and on. But listen to me. First of all, watch for your personal safety. Because if joblessness spreads, and if this thing is not saved, then you better watch out for your family. And men, listen to me. And women, mothers, you have a responsibility. Yes, you might want to get a gun if you don't have one. You better be able to protect yourself. And you need to store up a little food and water. I'm not asking you to be panic-stricken. I don't even want you to be fearful. The Bible says don't be fearful. That's a sin. Believe in Jesus Christ. Have confidence. Don't be fearful, but be watchful. Take care of your personal safety. Keep your doors locked at nights. Watch out. Now, if you do have some money in the bank, make sure, if you're rich enough, you have $100,000, make sure no more than that is in any one account. FDIC may protect it, but then again, if it runs out of money, if too many banks fail, even that may not be good enough. Some people say, well, gold, I'll put my money in gold. Yeah, but watch out. Con men and boiler room operators are already opening up offices. And they're going to say, buy this bar of gold, buy this certificate, buy this, buy it now. You may pay too much. They may not even deliver. You may order gold bullion and never even get it. Watch out. The con men are going to be coming out of the woodwork like rats out of their hole for the cheese. You want to buy gold or whatever? Watch out who's selling it to you. Make sure it's safe. That is, if you have the money. Stocks, be very careful. Be very careful. The stock market could see a huge temporary bounce. Who knows? The stock market could go up 1,000 points on Monday or Tuesday of this next week. And people say, see, the bear market's over. Another bull is on the way. But watch out. Have you ever heard of something called the dead cat bounce? That's when the stock market falls about 1,000 points or 2,000. And then suddenly it starts to get better. And it goes up 300, 500. 700 points. And everybody says, see, the worst is over. But it's, you know, throw a dead cat off a 50-story building and it bounces up one time. And most important of all, turn to God. Turn to God's word. It's not going to let you down. Men will let you down. Even I, maybe I won't have the strength to keep up, but God won't let you down. And turn to your family, your loved ones. Tell them how much you love them. Husbands, tell your wives, now's the time. I love you. It doesn't matter what happens. If I lose my job, I still love you. You love me. And you tell your kids that. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow we may lose our home. We may have to live in an apartment or a mobile home. Or who knows, we may live in a tent. But we'll still have each other. We'll have love. We'll have old, tried, and true values. And you know, they've always stood up. Honesty, integrity, faithfulness to God and country. They're never, they're always in short supply, but the value is always limitless. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to some special comments today. Is economic Armageddon just ahead? Well, things are changing very fast. Next week, we'll talk about some changes that are going to occur in the marketplace. We'll go to this, take this discussion one step further. For now, remember, friends, God has you and me in the palm of his hands. And my prayer is that you'll listen in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.